The history of the United States of America is a history rife with the stories of great social movements. Movements forged in the struggle to free oppressed peoples. There was Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad, dedicated to the freeing of slaves. There was the armed resistance waged by Native Americans under such great leaders as Crazy Horse and Geronimo, dedicated to halting the theft of Native lands. There was the labor movement and the struggle waged by workers to live in basic dignity. Well, today we'd like to add another name to this great Social Movement Hall of Fame, the National Association of Broadcasters, dedicated to defending the trampled upon rights of corporate-owned broadcast conglomerates. Unlike African Americans, who were at least accorded a status of being three-fifths human, there was a time in this country when the NAB's constituents were not even regarded as human at all. But that all changed in 1886, when the Supreme Court granted corporations all the same rights as persons. It's testimony to the great struggle, heroic endeavors, and effective organizing skills of social movements like the NAB that they were able to achieve their status as full human beings even before African Americans and women. In 1895, a young man by the name of Marconi invented what he termed as wireless telegraphy. For the NAB, it was the beginning of a great destiny. You might even say a manifest destiny. As luck would have it, Marconi's heart was in the right place. The young man handed over his wonderful invention to corporations and governments where it belonged, and in whose service it has remained ever since. Perhaps the first bust of a radio pirate occurred in England in 1914, when a 19-year-old youth was caught transmitting illegally from his grandfather's garden. According to Marconi's biographers, B.L. Jaco and D.M.B. Collier, British authorities were able to discover the whereabouts of the young man by means of a device obligingly invented by the great Marconi himself, specifically for the purpose of tracking down illegal stations. By the 1920s, the world saw the rise of what became known as the broadcast entertainment industry. Here in the U.S., a fledgling mass media culture was beginning to take shape. Exercising its new powers as full human beings, the NAB now determined what was to be heard on the radios of America. During World War II, the NAB played a pivotal role as NBC became the only network that Hitler allowed to broadcast from Berlin. This remarkable achievement was thanks mainly to NBC correspondent Max Jordan, who, as early as 1937, became a close confidant of Nazi officials. Interestingly, it wasn't until General Patton's Third Army arrived at Buchenwald 8 years later, in the spring of 1945, that the world officially learned of Nazi Germany's concentration camps. Guess NBC just didn't figure the camps were newsworthy. In the post-war era, the broadcast entertainment industry was transformed by television. And again, the NAB was right there playing an important role. In a speech before the NAB in 1961, FCC Chairman Newton Minow, President John F. Kennedy's appointee to head the commission, called TV a vast wasteland. Quoting from Mr. Minow, "When television is good, nothing is better. But when television is bad, nothing is worse. I invite you to sit down in front of your TV set and keep your eyes glued to that set until the station signs off. I can assure you that you will observe a vast wasteland. You will see a procession of game shows, violence, audience participation shows, formula comedies about totally unbelievable families, blood and thunder, mayhem, violence, sadism, murder, Western bad men, Western good men, private eyes, gangsters, more violence, and cartoons. And endlessly commercials. Many screaming, cajoling, and offending. And most of all, boredom. True, you will see a few things you enjoy, but they will be few. Very few. And if you think I exaggerate, try it." So said FCC Chairman Newton Minow back in 1961. Of course, this was back in the old days when the FCC functioned more in the manner in which it was mandated, as a regulatory rather than a rubber stamp body. By the way, Newton Minow's speech is recorded in a book entitled Prime Time, the biography of Edward R. Murrow by Alexander Kendrick. Murrow, by the way, after risking his life for CBS reporting on the German bombing of London in World War II, later had to be expunged from the network for the sin of placing journalistic ethics above corporate profits. One of the last programs ever produced by Murrow for CBS was a documentary entitled Harvest of Shame. Perhaps it was Harvest of Shame which Mr. Minow had in mind when he acknowledged that there were a few good programs on TV. Harvest of Shame was a controversial documentary reporting on the plight of migrant farm workers in America. But from the moment Harvest of Shame aired, Murrow became a marked man at CBS. Quoting from the book Prime Time, "The controversy over Harvest of Shame coincided with a kind of phasing out of CBS public affairs programs, quote, because they cost too much, unquote. This phasing out was carried out by James Aubrey, the television network president who had succeeded Lou Cowan and who had dedicated himself to making more money than ever for CBS. But all of this should not be said without also mentioning the NAB's enormous contributions to American life and culture. Numerous and valuable contributions have been made by the NAB, for instance, to music and the fine arts. For example, this timeless composition.
Here's the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls. All of them had hair of gold, like their mother. The youngest one in curls.
It's the story of a man named Brady who was busy with three boys of his own. They were four men living all together, yet they were all alone.
Till the one day when the lady met this fellow, and they knew that it was much more than a hunch, that this group must somehow form a family. That's the way we all became the Brady Bunch, the Brady Bunch, the
the Brady Bunch. That's the way we became the Brady Bunch.
Or take this very lovely piece.
Everybody knows in a second life we all come back sooner or later. As anything from a pussycat to a man-eating alligator. Well, you all may think my story is more fiction than it's fact. But believe it or not, my mother dear decided she'd come back as a car. She's my very own guiding star. A 1928 Porter, that's my mother dear. She helps me through everything I do, and I'm so glad she's here. My mother car.
Or how about this powerful concerto?
Love, exciting and new. Come aboard, we're expecting you. Life's sweetest reward. Let it flow. It floats back to you. Love boat. Soon we'll be making another run. The love boat promises something for everyone. Set a course for adventure, your mind on a new romance. And love won't hurt anymore. It's an open smile on a friendly shore.
Or take this wonderfully, wonderfully inspiring number. Influential, in fact, have been the NAB's achievements that one can't help wonder how the destiny of this great nation might have been different had not this gallant organization of professional broadcasters and network censors taken root, sort of like pigweed, and spread throughout the land. Would there perhaps be TV shows today hosted by such great public interest advocates as Ralph Nader or Noam Chomsky? Perhaps the hypocritical anti-human mongerers who stalk the corridors of power in Washington today are the NAB's own harvest of shame. Throughout the 20th century, the NAB, National Association of Broadcasters, leaving its boot print on America.